Please turn in your silver praise books to page 168. I will enter his gates. Please stand as we sing together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Our call to worship this morning. My awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance.
O God of our salvation.
You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
Burn in our hearts the courage that we need to keep our faith only in you and to rely on the strength that comes from God.
Very good. Our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. It's in your hymnal on page 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2031. We bring the sacrifice of praise.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
You may be seated. Our prayer of confession, let's recite in unison this morning. No words can express the depth of our need or reveal the extent of our sin, but you know us completely, O God. With deeds of iniquity, overwhelm us. You forgive our transgressions. You rescue us from evil and clothe us with love. Humbly we thank you. For no words can express our gratitude for the gift of your salvation. Amen. Amen. Let's pause for a moment for silent prayer. And amen. Our declaration of forgiveness. Sisters and brothers, the news is so good we can scarcely believe it. God does not hold our sin against us, but pours out abundant grace. Give thanks to God, and by the Spirit's power, share the gospel far and near. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Time for our children's moment.
Might as well do it.
But you have a boy. You have a boy.
Testing. We're going to talk about something we've talked about before, but I thought it'd be okay to give it to you in a different way. You know, in the bulletin, it always says we have tithes and offering. What do you think the tithes are? A tithe means a tenth. And when some people just give offering, and some people tithe, or they give a percentage. I mean, God has given us everything, and all he wants back is a teeny tiny bit. Why do you think we need the tithes and the offerings? What does the church, why do they need that? Do y'all have any idea? Yes.
I think they need that because to show that we still care.
Anything else?
Remind us how much God's given us.
Yes. And also, you know, we have to have an offering or a tithe or something. How are we going to pay our bills? I mean, the church has bills just like a household has bills, or a school has bills, or a business. So just one person or one thing doesn't take care of that. It takes all of us. So let me just show you an example here. Let me just pass these out. Do you think a tenth is very much? No. Okay, how much is a tenth? Okay, how many dimes do you have in your little package? 10, okay? So if you tithe, how much would you have to give to the church? You wouldn't have to. Hopefully you're giving cheerfully and from the heart. How much would you give? Just a dime. One dime. Can you afford that? If you take one dime out of there, it's not going to mean anything, is it? It's hardly anything. So, I need each of you to put a dime in here so that you will be tithing today. Thank you. So let's say our prayer real quick. Did y'all have any questions about tithing or offering? Okay. Repeat after me. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have given us. And help us to be cheerful givers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay.
Good morning, everyone, again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is time for our joys and concerns, and I just look around and imagine that two things. You have it all, and you need nothing from the Lord. Because not even a thank you for being here today. We have to change the way that we think. If you're here this morning, it's because you're alive and because God has given you the gift of time. For that, we're all thankful. So I will stand in the gap for all of you today and thank the Lord for each one of you. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for your children, my Heavenly Father, that you have brought into your fold, whether a long time ago or just recently. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, for every heart that has turned to you. And I thank you, Father, for the way that you have taken care of them up to this point and the way that you will continue to take care of them as they go. I thank you most of all for the gift of time. There are so many that have been called home that are not here today. But we thank you, my Heavenly Father, for their presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you're going to bring here today. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity of gathering and worshiping your Son, Jesus, in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray all together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day my daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would all read with me the prayer of illumination. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. By your Spirit, make yourself known to us through the reading and preaching of your word. Amen. Today, we have a very short reading of scripture. It is Psalms 116, verse 12, and it reads, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Saying thank you might seem simple, but giving a heartfelt thank you can be complicated. When we are saying thank you for things we have received, sometimes we feel that the words are not enough. Should you call or write? What should you say in a thank you note? How can you show how much someone's help has meant to you? How can you say thank you for whatever act they have done that has made a difference in your life? This is really the biggest hurdle. Thanking someone in the moment isn't all that difficult, though it is still important to remember to do it. But thanking someone after the fact, sometimes it becomes difficult. Other times we recite a thank you just in passing, and unfortunately, sometimes we don't even say thank you. Sometimes we take the gift for granted. We mean to say thank you, but somehow the thank you goes to the back of our mind and we just don't say it. So today I don't only want to say thank you with our tithing and offerings. I want to say thank you with a thank you note. And these thank you notes, I found them in the Bible. One, we can say thank you to God by obeying him. Everything you do or say should be done to obey Jesus, your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God, the Father, through Jesus. Colossians 3:17. If you add together the verses with the word obey and those reminding us to listen, it is close to 1,000 times in the Bible. Faith leads to obedience. And as we thank God for the amazing gift of Jesus Christ in our lives, we are to say it out loud. We can say thank you to God by worshiping him also. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Remember, worship is taking your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, just all the things that you do, and placing it before God as an offering. What I mean by that, Lord, I'm doing this for you. Doesn't matter that anybody else sees it. Doesn't matter that I take the credit. Doesn't matter that there's not a light shining on me. I'm going to do this for you. And then you might be thinking, well, I can offer the Lord my housework. You know, I can, if you're a guy, maybe your wife is making you cut the grass. You can say, well, I'm going to offer the Lord, you know, cutting the grass. It's such a simple thing. But this is exactly what the Bible is saying. Everything you do, making it an offer to the Lord. It's just that simple. It doesn't mean that you need to go and build a bridge. It doesn't mean that you need to go and evangelize in Africa. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means whatever you do through your daily life, offer it to the Lord. We are made to worship and to thank and praise God, the one who loves us and gives us all we need for today and for always. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Hebrews 12:28. When we can say thank you to God with music, it's a wonderful thing. Not everybody has the gift, like Judy, but I'm kind of coveting her gift. You know, I keep mentioning it. I just love the way she sings. And sitting here in front of the choir, you have no idea how this voice sounds. It just makes worship so special for me. And each morning and evening, they stood before the Lord to sing songs of thanks and praise to him. 1 Chronicles 23:30. Make music. Sing praises. Music gives our thanks and praise emotion. So make that joyful noise at home, in the car, at church, in the shower, outside, in the backyard, while you're feeding the animals. It doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise. Turn up the tunes and give thanks. Not everybody likes to sing. Okay, recite the song. But do something. Just let your heart overflow with a poem, a song. Just sing. God is not counting how many notes you're missing or anything like that. Nobody is directing you. Whatever you sing, it's a harmony of love to the Lord. We can also say thank you to God with our prayers. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. Philippians 4 and 6. You pray and begin your prayers with words of thanks and praise. But let's go beyond that, beyond thank you for all that you have done for me. Let's be as specific. Naming God's past provisions and help will help us from being fearful. I'm praying for someone that her child is very ill. And I am fearful because I'm praying for healing. And healing might come in a way that is not what I have in mind. And not what I want for them. But the fact that I can mention the moments that God has given the miracle of life to other people in worst circumstances calms my fear and keeps me praying and keeps me hopeful. We can also say thank you to God by the love and care we have for other people. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans 12 and 10. God's love is unfailing. His care is personal. You and I have all the things we need inside of us already to love and care for the people around us. You know, love is given in many ways. We name our cookbook love, because it's an expression of love when we cook and we like to cook, and it's an offering to our family and to the people that we're entertaining. When we do something for somebody, we're also expressing love. When we hold our tongue, we're expressing love. When we don't pass along information that we don't have from the first source, we are expressing love. You might not be expressing love for the person that you have a grievance against, but you're expressing love to God, and you're doing it for Him. There are many ways of expressing love. A kind word, a thank you. When you know somebody is in distress, coming and saying something. We meet people at the store all the time, the people that wait on our tables, the people that are working around us. A kind word, it should not be hard. And it's a way of expressing love to other people. God's love, it's unfailing. We have to be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above ourselves. In all we do. His care is personal. You and I have all we need to love and care for everyone around us. We can say thank you to God by surrendering everything to Him. David wrote, "Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Psalms 9 and 10. Not only is this a way of saying thank you and affirming the faith that you have in God, but it's also a promise. It's a promise when you're praying for that thing that seems to be very difficult for you, the thing that is so impossible that you cannot bring it to be, the thing that is not in your hands. This is a promise. And you know how I feel about promises. We all need to know the promises so we can pray on them and show the Lord that we believe what he did for them a long time ago, and we're claiming it for God, for us now. It's hard to offer everything in prayer, isn't it? It needs an eternal perspective, and I so easily get caught up in what is right in front of my face that I sometimes find myself sitting down and my mind is going, and then I say, well, why am I doing this? You know, how did I move in this direction? This is not me. This is not what I believe. And I have to go back, you know, force myself to remember and call out on the promises and the word of God. Just because the Lord has placed me here for this season at this time, it doesn't mean that I have it all together. It doesn't mean that I have any special powers. And certainly it doesn't mean, like people like to say, that I have a direct line. No, it doesn't. I have the same line you guys have, the same line. We get so caught up in the panic of the moment, and we run around trying to fix things, and many times we do fix things temporarily. Because we're smart. God has given us intelligence, and in our case, we have lived long enough to have experiences. And we know enough people that if I don't know how to do it, I can call two or three people and say, hey, when you got to this point, what did you do? How did you overcome this? All of us have that accessibility. But still, the Lord is asking you to bring everything to him in prayer. When we act on our own, solely on our own, we will find ourselves in the same panic position down the road. We think that the problem has been solved, but no. We simply have put a Band-Aid on a wound. And that Band-Aid will come undone, and we will bleed again. Trusting God and surrendering everything to him, that should always be our first step. And next to that is seeking wise counsel. Doing everything you can and believing that God will do the rest. Trusting God in times of crisis, that is thanksgiving with faith. God wants to help us, wants to help each one of you individually. And he knows what our problems are and what our troubles are and where we are. But he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear the humble cry of his children asking for help. At our age, we all know that. But then we also tend to forget. That's all he's asking. Bring me your concerns. Tell me your woes. Let me know what you're thinking. He knows, but he needs to hear it from you. So if we think that we can just function and be all that we think we should be, and we have God on the side for when we can do nothing, it won't work. It'll just be a momentary fix. We can say thank you to God by telling people about who he is and what he has done in your life. I will praise you, Lord. With all my heart, I will tell of all the marvelous things that you have done. Psalms 9:1. Each one of you have a wonderful story. Some of you, your story is of healing. Some of you, your story is with healing and brokenness. Each story is powerful on its own. And the reason that it's powerful, it's because God is going to tell your story to a person that needs to hear exactly what you have to say. That doesn't mean that you're just going to go walking and start grabbing on people and say, let me tell you my story. Not everybody is ready to hear your story. But there's always the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And if you pay attention, you'll know just in the wording of that person to you, how they look, what they're saying, that you have something inside of you that can be of hope and help. That is how you tell your story. Telling your story will change a life. Tell people about it, it changed yours. Tell them about forgiveness and freedom from fear, about love, hope, and about joy. Thank God by telling others about his awesome blessings in your life, in the life of your children, in the life of your grandchildren. We can say thank you to you, to God, by trusting his will. Trust, for me, it's everything. It's the foundation of my faith. If I did not trust the word of God, I wouldn't be able to be who I am today. Because when I look at the world, there's nothing for me out there. So I came in with a hunger to try and see if I can trust God. And he didn't let me down. And my trust increases, which is hard to believe. Every time I go through difficult circumstances, God manifests himself and his power in a way that I know that it's only him. And that fills me, undergirds my faith, and leads me to the next day. Trust is extremely important. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in song of thanksgiving. Psalms 28:7. When you have difficult times, like we all do, and you just feel that you have nothing to say, go to the Word, go to the Psalms. I guarantee you that you're going to find the verse that you can just sit and repeat and repeat and repeat until you believe it. And this is one of those verses. Trust is reliance and confident expectation. Thank God for past blessings by trusting him with your future. Follow where he leads. He has a plan, and that plan includes each one of you. Trust his love. Trust that he will provide for all your needs, and follow where he leads you. It is difficult just to pray and then put yourself in the hands of God. You know, Satan is still going to try to come and convince you, oh, you can't stay there too long because look how much time he's taking. God is never late. God loves you. And his intention for you is for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So regardless of the fire where you find yourself at the moment, he will pull you out. In the time that you're in that fire, take notes. He's teaching you something. It is important, extremely important, that you trust God above all things and above anybody else. We can also say thanks to God by being joyful. Always be joyful in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Philippians 4:4-6. Being joyful, showing joy when you're going, you know, through a difficult circumstances, it's not easy. Not easy at all. Joy is contentment and satisfaction.
when you're going through the fire, well, joy, contentment, and satisfaction is not with you in there. You're still burning. But this is the thing. What the Bible says is to find joy in God. How do I find joy in my own personal circumstances? In knowing that it's not forever. In knowing that this too shall pass. Most of all, in knowing that something good will be made out of a bad situation. No, you're not joyful, and I'm not asking you to be joyful because you're going through the circumstances you are. I'm asking you to remember who you belong to and to focus your mind in the love that God has for you. One of the things that I'm asked the most when I'm doing hospice care is, how do people that don't believe in God, how do they go through this particular journey? They don't. They try to hold on, and they try to find hope in a whole bunch of things that have no root, no merit, no proof. But when you're walking home with someone that knows the Lord, even when they're not able to speak, they can hear you praying for them. They can hear their children praying for them. And I believe, because I've been told by great doctors, and I have seen it in my own work in hospice, that a person hears until the last moment. And based on that, the prayers of the saints around them is what surrounds them and lifts them up to the hands of God. That is the joy that I'm talking about. Not the joy of the circumstance. We can thank God by thanking Him for making everything you do and say an offering of thanksgiving. But I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good. Psalms 52, 8 and 9. Coming to church on Sunday is a wonderful opportunity to encourage somebody else. Maybe somebody is having an issue or something, whatever. Or maybe they just look kind of like they don't want to say anything. But, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's one of the reasons that you come to church to worship, to help one another in times of need. I want my life to show that my heart is full of thanksgiving. I am grateful for all I have been given. I have been forgiven so much, and I have come so far that I know for a fact that God has a purpose for my life. Does it mean that there are not lessons along that purpose? It does. But the joy is in knowing that I have come this far because God looked at me and said, I will make your later days better than your first ones. And He certainly has. This month of October, I have preached to you about generosity and gratitude. Today I share with you what I have been given on how we all say thank you. Before I give you my last thought, I'd like to share with you some information. Americans give 1.1 to 1.4% of their yearly income to various causes and charitable organizations. That number has declined by a full percentage point in the last 10 years. American Christians give 1.5 to 3.1% to their church and other charitable organizations. That number has dropped more than a percentage point in the last 10 years. 4 out of 10 church attendees give nothing to their local church. 1 out of 10 regular church attendees give a consistent amount to the church. 1 out of 10. The national average of people who tithe to their local church is currently 4% of church attending Christians. This is not one church directed. This is Christian church directed. Those are some alarming statistics that should quickly answer the question as to why our nation needs revival. Why are certain things happening? Why are we not finding people that are willing to step out and put their lives' work on the line and go out on missions and go out and disciple? God clearly does not have our hearts. Also, in light of those statistics, you have to ask yourself, what would happen if God's people gave according to biblical precedent? How many lives could be changed? Could we expedite word evangelism and eradicate world hunger through the church? Could we care for the cities and be a light that could not be hidden? Could we eliminate the poverty in our nation and the nations of the earth? Could we take care of every widow and find a home for every orphan? Could we experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that resembles or exceeded the book of Acts? In the book of Acts is our map to the Christian church. The apostles brought them together. And God gave the increase. The answer to all this question is yes, 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 and yes. It can. It can happen. We as children of God should tithe. We should because it releases the blessings of God. Bring all the tithing into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they're ripe, says the Lord of Heaven armies. Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Honor the Lord by giving sacrificially, and he will fill your barn with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest of wines. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. And God will generously provide for you all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, a promise. Don't be afraid to give. God will provide. Tithing is not a punishable offense. It's a privilege and an opportunity. You all know my story about tithing. I cannot tell you enough. I believe in tithing. I have even continued my tithing out of my own employment checks because I believe in tithing. I'm not paying God back. You can never repay a favor or grace. But I believe in what the Lord says. Try me and see, Francis, if I would not open the gates of heaven for you. And no, I don't get grain and so far, no best wine. But God has given me blessings that I am not able to hold with my hands. So I believe it is not a punishable offense. It is truly, truly a gift for us to give to God part, sacrificially, of all that he has already given to us. Today you have in your programs a pledge card. I'd like you to look at it as your thank you note. A thank you note is called for whenever you want to express gratitude or appreciation for a special gift, an act of kindness, a helping hand when you needed one, or your life has been blessed with a miracle. As you filled out your thank you card today, remember all the blessings that God has poured on you and on yours. I encourage you to use this as your thank you card with a sacrificial gift, not a tenth, not a 20th, not a number. No one more than you know what you can give. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your countless blessings. Because of Jesus, your grace and mercy cover us every single day. Your love surrounds us. May our lives be an offering of thanksgiving for who you are and all that you do in us. We love you, Lord. We trust you. Help us to obey and to follow whatever you lead. Accept these humble gifts as a sign of our gratitude. What we all remember, it is never, ever equal giving, but it's always equal sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you made us in your image and breathed in us a spirit of generosity that is both gift and response. Move us, we pray, to give as we have received abundantly, generously and joyfully, that our common ministry may ever bear witness to your unfailing grace. In the name of the three in whom we are one. Amen.
Thank you. Found in the Silver Praise Book, Not the Faith We Sing, page 107, Give Thanks.
170.
It's 170.
Blessing from the Lord. May the Creator nurture you, the teacher walk with you, and the Spirit strengthen you this day and forevermore. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Try hard.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
We all have a